Chapter 11, Legacy. Naruto narrows his eyes in concentration, focusing on the piece of paper in front of him. The apartment is quiet, but for the intermittent patter of rain starting up outside. Kurama had mentioned training for a few hours before dinner and left with his katana. But even without him, the apartment still manages to feel warmer and cozier than Naruto's ever has. Part of it could be that Naruto's stuff has migrated onto the bookcase and is filling several new shelves around the main room, or that the door to his new bedroom is propped open and he can see Gama-chan perched proudly on the desk from where he's sitting. Or maybe it's that Kurama made him cocoa and brought home dango for him without Naruto even vaguely hinting that he wanted either. This, Naruto supposes, is what it feels like to have a dad. Except that Kurama is more easygoing than any of the dads his friends have complained about, more apt to let Naruto decide everything on his own, and then be there with congratulations after a success, or sympathy in the face of a failure. He has his own life and his own duties, but he still takes a moment whenever he can to be kind, to do things that no one's ever done for Naruto before. And it's simultaneously amazing and completely bewildering. So, for Kurama, and for himself, because this stuff is actually pretty cool, Naruto is reading. Has read 3 scrolls on basic sealing that even Genin can do, and Kurama has finally given him leave to test it. He probably didn't mean for Naruto to test it while he wasn't present, but he never specified. And Naruto's done with the scroll and fairly confident in his abilities, so why not? The outline of an exploding tag is growing under his brush, smooth and slow. Everything he's read has been incredibly explicit about not hurrying, and as much as Naruto would like to, he also doesn't want to blow up the whole apartment, so he's careful as he sketches out the seal and then inks it. Exploding tags are one of the things that every shinobi uses, and even Naruto has used them before, learned at the academy, but most ones bought pre-made are actually really boring. Like this, Naruto can tweak the seal to change how much smoke there is, or how much fire, or how much noise. Basic exploding tags have all about the same strength, since that's just how the seal is. But that's fine, because it's really the extras that get people instead of the force. Smoke and bangs and all that. That's what really confuses an enemy. And now, Naruto can make his own. There are really no words for how awesome seals are. Just as he's about to put the finishing flourish on the Upper West Quadrant, though, the door opens, and his cousin calls, "I'm home! Naruto, did you burn down the house yet?" Offended at the implication, Naruto jerks his head up and cries, "Kurama-ni!" in a wounded voice. But the jerk of his head is echoed by the jerk of the brush in his hand. A jagged streak of black cuts through 3 quadrants at once. Naruto blinks down at it for a moment before the implication registers, and then his eyes go wide. Naruto-kun, whoops. Before Naruto can so much as open his mouth to cry a warning, a calloused hand closes on the back of his shirt, plucks him neatly out of the way, and drops him onto the sofa. Kurama drops to one knee, slams a palm down on the ruined seal, and speaks a word that makes Naruto's ears ring. There's a flash of light, a sound like metal tearing, and then dead silence. Naruto rubs his eyes to clear away the spots, and the world slowly resolves into the still intact apartment, with his cousin kneeling in front of him with one red brow arched. He looks more amused than angry, thankfully.
"Good job, Dobe," a familiar voice huffs from the doorway.
"Shut up, Teme!"
Naruto snaps back automatically, glaring at the brunette leaning against the wall. It was working until you distracted me. And then he actually registers the other boy's presence and tacks on, "And what are you doing here anyway?" It's only after the words are out that he remembers he's being nice to Sasuke right now, and he winces. Something odd, almost relief, except Sasuke doesn't have emotions beyond rude and condescending, flickers over the Uchiha's features before they settle again, and he turns away disinterestedly, dropping his gaze to the smoking paper Kurama is holding between his fingers. "What's that?" he asks, though since this is Sasuke, it sounds somewhere between flat monotone and a demand. "A customized smoke bomb tag," Naruto says proudly, because it would have worked if he'd been able to draw that last line. "Like an exploding tag, but instead of an explosion, you get smoke." "And a loud bang," Kurama says dryly, surveying the seal. He tilts his head and chuckles, then looks back at Naruto. "It looks like it would work. Good job, Naruto-kun. To be able to personalize even a basic seal already, you're picking it up quickly." Smoothly, he rises to his feet, then heads toward the kitchen, ruffling Naruto's hair as he passes. "That Uzumaki blood is really showing." Naruto all but preens. He's never had a family to live up to before, but if this is how it feels, he can understand why people try so hard to do it. "Thanks, Kurama-ni," he cheers, and the redhead favors him with a soft, fond smile before he turns to the other genin. "So?" he asks mildly, resting a hand on Sasuke's hair with an equally warm smile for him. "Would you like me to talk to Kakashi-sensei and see if I can teach you Kenjutsu? And I'm sure he knows it, albeit a slightly different style, if you'd prefer to learn from your actual sensei." "Hmm." Sasuke whips his head around and looks away, but not before Naruto catches the sight of the flush rising in his cheeks. And that expression on his face, it's weirdly familiar. His jaw drops in sudden understanding, and he splutters, even as his cousin disappears into the kitchen. Hearing him, Sasuke jerks back around and levels him with a death glare that's all but negated by the fact that he's still blushing. You pervert!" Naruto manages to hiss after a strangled second. He's seen that look on Sakura's face before, specifically when she's looking at Sasuke. You've got a crush on my cousin!" "Shut up!" Sasuke hisses back, cheeks flaming even brighter. "I do not, Dobe. That's ridiculous." "Then why are you blushing when he just touched your hair? Do too!" "I do not. Do too! Do not! Do too! Do not! Oh, get the hell off me, Dobe!"
"Stop blushing because of Kurama-ni, Teme. I'm the one he's teaching sealing."
"And he's going to teach me Kenjutsu. Dead last. Stop it!"
"Jerk face, let go!
Ow!
Hey!"
Kurama leans in the doorway of the kitchen, brow raised, and watches them wrestle on the floor. Then, with a faint roll of his eyes and a mutter of, "It never changes, does it?" he turns around and goes back in. He'd been planning to ask what the boys wanted for dinner, but at this point, they can just eat what he gives them and be happy. He had visited the ruins of Uzushiogakure once, 3 months after Konoha fell. It had been a strange and solemn thing, stepping into a foreign graveyard only to find it populated with familiar ghosts. Not much had remained standing, and there was more rubble there than there were buildings at that point. But those who destroyed it had been Kiri and Iwanin, and unskilled when it came to seals. Kurama had been able to dig down through the debris of countless lost lives and ruined dreams, until he found, safely stored away from foes and the ravages of time alike, the last few remnants of his clan's legacy. Because as much as he was the son of Konoha's Yondaime, its yellow flash, He is far more the son of a fiery red-haired woman with a spine of steel and the courage to face down a demon. He is the son of a woman who left her home to become a willing human sacrifice in the name of containing the QB, and had made the best of her situation until it truly turned around for her. He is the red-hot-blooded Habanero's son, a part of the clan whose name he bears more than he ever will be a Namikaze, whether he is recognized as such or not. The treasures, when gathered, were few and scattered and often close to unsalvageable. But Kurama had done his best for the sole reason that there was no one else to do it. What other Uzumaki remained, if there were any, had been spread thin across the elemental nations, and between Orochimaru, Tobi, and Madara, it was very likely they had all been wiped out. He had managed to find, amidst the ruins, a handful of scrolls on Uzushio's martial arts, taijutsu and kenjutsu alike, and many more on sealing. A few trinkets here and there with a spiral crest, a battered hitayate, and a nearly complete set of kunai that had somehow kept their edge. And bodies. So very many bodies. Uzushio had not been a large village, for all its strength, but it had still housed an entire force of shinobi and civilians, a once grand marketplace, and families and people. And now all of them were gone, dead and forgotten, in this lonesome stretch of coastline. The land of eddies was a slim slip of shore lost between everything else, because Uzushio had never sought power beyond what could be found in their seals and swords and hearts. They had stayed within their land and built their beautiful city and grown far too powerful for the other countries to stomach, so they had been destroyed. Even now, years and timelines and worlds different from the angry boy who dug graves for an entire city, it still makes something in Kurama ache, makes him grit his teeth and clench his fists and wish fire down upon Iwa and Kiri, because it was a tragedy and it has been forgotten, and that is an even greater tragedy than it ever simply happening in the first place. He's the last to actively carry Uzushio's legacy, just about the last to bear the name. He never would have brought a child into being in a war zone, even if he and Sasuke had ever discussed surrogates and such. And, unless his past self takes such a step, is able to take such a step, this generation will see the end of the Uzumaki clan. But, Kurama thinks, glancing across the room from his seat in the open window, his eyes settle on the two small forms curled together on the couch, peaceful in sleep the way they never are awake. It's Sasuke's second night here, and all Kurama had to do to lure him in was offer food. But, he thinks again, and smiles, if I teach them, and if they pass it on, and their students pass it on, that's already three more generations that would have otherwise been lost to us. That's three more generations protected, if only second hand. Three more generations preserved, and even if it ends there, I think I can be content with that. He'll teach Naruto his taijutsu and sealing, Sasuke his kenjutsu. He'll give them the tools and the foundation and the will to save themselves, rather than doing it for them. And once this world has been righted, he'll return to Uzushio Gakure, hidden between the sea and tides and sky. He'll return and bury his mother's people, his people, and tell them he's done what he can. He thinks they would be proud of what their legacy has wrought, if they could see it. Another morning, another meeting, and somehow it's not surprising at all that Uzumaki Kurama is at Team 7's bridge once again. Kakashi pauses underneath the overhang of the forest, content, at least for the moment, to simply watch. Naruto is sprawled out on his back, reading a scroll with a frown of furious concentration on his face, while Sakura sits a few feet away, sharpening her kunai as she studies a basic Medicnin anatomy doll. On the railing of the bridge, Sasuke and Kurama have their heads bent together. And, astonishing as it is, Sasuke seems to be the one providing most of the conversation. A week ago, Kakashi wouldn't have thought it possible. A week ago, his team was a wreck, just waiting to break under its own strain. Likely at the very worst possible moment. Naruto raged at Sasuke, and Sasuke was coldly indifferent and bitingly condescending to him. Sakura fawned over Sasuke and belittled Naruto, who fawned over her in turn, even as Sasuke entirely ignored the kunoichi. Certainly a destructive cycle. And Kakashi had looked at them and wondered how in the hells they'd ever managed to pass his test. But this morning, Sasuke and Naruto both arrived with Kurama, and Kakashi has a sneaking suspicion that he knows why there were no lights on in the Uchiha compound again last night. Naruto had been carrying a stack of scrolls, his face a mask of almost comical determination, but he'd sat down and promptly cracked open the first one, a beginner's guide to seal theory, if Kakashi's not mistaken. And though he's been complaining to his cousin intermittently for the last 2 hours, Kakashi's making them wait 3 today, just for a change of pace. He's kept with it. Likely, Kurama's gentle yet insistent prodding has something to do with that. But for the Academy's dead last, it's still impressive. Sakura, too, is a large change. Oh, she performed her requisite fangirling over the Uchiha, but her attention waned quickly, and before long she was laying out the doll and memorizing parts. Even if she doesn't become a medic, such knowledge can only help. But from the fierce intent in her eyes, Kakashi suspects that she's set her heart on her goal and won't easily waver. And then there's Sasuke. Kakashi wants to call him troubled but brilliant, wants to file him away as another genius with a tragic story, the way Kakashi himself was as a child. But looking at the boy now, he simply can't. Sasuke is talking with Kurama, slowly running through hand seals as he concentrates on his fingers, then saying something that Kakashi can't quite pick out. Kurama nods thoughtfully, though, and carefully reaches up to reposition Sasuke's left elbow a little bit. An encouraging gesture from him, and then Sasuke tries it again. Belatedly, Kakashi recognizes the sequence for the water prison technique, and blinks. From what he knows of the Uchiha, the odds of Sasuke having a water affinity are infinitesimal, to put it generously. To teach the kid that, when he doesn't even know his real affinity yet. Entirely intrigued, Kakashi stretches his senses out just a little more, shamelessly attempting to eavesdrop. "Any jutsu?" Sasuke is saying, a faint note of skepticism in his voice. Kurama nods. "Yes, you'll never be as good with the other elements as you are with your own, but I don't think that's any excuse not to at least try. It's good for a surprise attack, or to make your opponent think you're weaker than you are. That kind of thing will keep you alive. Water prison is only a C rank anyway. It takes about as much control as your great fireball jutsu." "Hmm." Sasuke is frowning, but it's thoughtful rather than grim. Then he says, "Naruto said the seals on your arms let you use all the elements equally well." That's news to Kakashi, and he raises one hidden eyebrow, surveying the redhead a little more closely. If that's true, and if they're seals that Kurama invented himself, and they must be, or every shinobi anywhere would be happily paying an arm and a leg to get those seals, then the Elder Uzumaki must be a genius at sealing. Kakashi can't even begin to imagine how complex something like that must have to be to work, especially in combat. Kurama nods easily, as though it's a little thing and not something that could potentially turn the tide of a war. "Yes, but they're exceedingly delicate. Burning them out is incredibly easy and an incredibly bad idea, as they're linked directly with my chakra coils. My clan traditionally has large enough reserves to handle it if they go bad, but I wouldn't want to slap these seals onto the average shinobi. They'd become a vegetable in under 5 uses." All right, Kakashi thinks with a wince. Maybe that's why they're not widespread then. But he still suspects that they're Kurama's personal work. There's a note of pride in his voice that wouldn't be present otherwise. Sasuke looks faintly disappointed, even as Naruto drops his scroll with a dramatic flourish and cries, Kurama-ni, how come you're teaching him? I thought I was the one you were teaching seals. You are, brat, Kurama says with a surreptitious roll of his eyes. Sealing is a specialty of the Uzumaki clan, and Uzushio Gakure's shinobi in general. You're being taught your clan's heritage right now, and I won't skimp on that. But I'm also a jonin with some time on my hands between missions, and a lot of experience using a sword, and Sasuke has the speed needed to make the Uzumaki techniques work. Our clan's small as it is, Naruto-kun. I'm not about to turn anyone away who wants to learn, provided they use the knowledge correctly. Figuring that's his cue, Kakashi shushins into the middle of the bridge, appearing in a storm of leaves. Ma, Kurama-kun, you've just been letting them sit around? He tries to interject as much disappointment into his tone as possible, and continues over Naruto's and Sakura's rabid snarls of, Late! They'll never learn anything if you're nice like that. Sasuke eyes him like he's a particularly nasty bug, crossing his arms. You say that like we actually learn, he mutters, and wow, the kid can do sarcasm. Kakashi had honestly had no hope for him. He turns a beaming smile, not that they can see it, on the boy and claps his hands together. You're right, my cute little genin. So for today, let's switch it up a bit. Endurance training. So off you go, 3 laps around the village, from the outside. Don't get eaten. There's dismay from 3 quarters, and Kakashi glories in it, even as he herds the adorable little monsters toward the gate. They grumble, but take off running, and Kakashi waves fondly as they disappear into the distance. You, Kurama says drolly, are such an asshole. Because he's feeling remarkably cheery this morning, afternoon, Kakashi beams at him too. People who lie about their ages don't get to call me that, Kurama-kun. Try again. There's a beat of silence, and then one red brow slowly arches. Come again? The jonin asks politely. Kakashi hops up onto the railing to sit next to him. Uzushio was destroyed during the Second Shinobi War, he points out. Minato-sensei was 10, I think, and I was maybe a year old. But you talk about the destruction like you took part in the fighting, and still claim to be younger than me. Kurama looks down at his hands, eyes distant but shadowed. Ah, he says softly, at length. Most people don't realize. I don't exactly age normally. Studying the man, Kakashi nods in easy acceptance. Kurama's eyes are far too old for his face, and Kakashi has thought so since they met. A bloodline? He asks. Or just good genetics? A huff of laughter escapes the other jonin, until he raises a hand to rake fingers through his long hair. A bit of both, he admits after a moment. The Uzumaki are known for their longevity, but my father wasn't an Uzumaki, and he passed something on to me. Kakashi doesn't push, because for the most part, bloodline limits are incredibly private, except when they're being used against an enemy. Also, with a genin team, he doesn't have the excuse of saying he wants to know in case they ever get caught in a combat situation together, which is faintly disappointing, but Kakashi's always been just as much a circumspect bastard as he is a nosy one. He'll go digging and see what rumors he can turn up. Raising a hand to shield his eyes, he turns to peer in the direction of the gate. So, he says, cheerfully changing the subject. Want to put bets on which of my cute little genin kills one of his or her teammates first? Kurama laughs at that, bright and sweet, and shakes his head. Asshole, he says, but it's entirely fond. And Kakashi feels something ease within his chest, if only slightly, at the smile that's turned on him. There's a pause, a beat, and then Kurama digs out his wallet. I'll put 20 ryo on Sakura snapping and trying to kill them both, he offers. Deal, Kakashi agrees instantly, and they shake on it.